This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
At 17 minutes to 6. So the last 20 years have seen many people join a global culture of overwork, with unpaid labor becoming an expected part of many jobs. After multiple recessions and a global pandemic, millennials and Generation Z in particular often do not have the same job opportunities and financial securities as their partners. Now, many young people in professional jobs who expected a relatively straightforward progression in life have struggled with precarious contracts, job uncertainties, trying to get into the housing ladder. I mean, there are those who constantly put in extra hours to go above and beyond at work to try and secure promotions and bonuses. Yet, they still struggle. Joining us on the line is Liesl Pfeiffer-Blechnert, who's going to be talking to us. We're talking about quiet quitting. A recent study by Deloitte found young people are increasingly seeking flexibility and purpose in their work and balance satisfaction in their lives. Many young professionals are now rejecting the live-to-work lifestyle by continuing to work, but not allowing work to control them. Liesl, good morning.
Good morning, Kwena. Nice to join you here this morning.
Thank you so much for taking this time to speak to us. I mean, listening to the stats here, it sounds like the workplace is no longer the same like it used to be. And by the fact that things have changed so much, young people are finding it, well, I guess, hard to adapt to the so-called traditional working conditions.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you look at stats, I think it was Gallup that said about half of the U.S. workforce has silently quit. So it is something global. It's not so only something that we see here in South Africa. But yes, and I think it's not only young people. And I think it's kind of led us up to this point. It's not something that just silently started this year or last year.
So the silently quitting, quiet quitting, I mean, what is it? How do you understand that, Liesl?
So that's interesting, because I mean, you could simply kind of replace that word with disengagement, but that's not completely that. I think it's kind of point to a psychological disconnection. I think it points to setting boundaries, which a lot of people kind of feel that they have to do. So yes, you can also see it as I don't do less or more than what I'm paid to do and within that hours to do.
So you don't really quit your job. You still work, but you work because you don't have any other option. Is that my right understanding?
Yes, for some people it might be because I don't have any other option. But I think for some people it's really kind of setting the boundaries. So if you look at what kind of brought us to this point, you know, something like overwork, burnout, and being pushed for deadlines, etc., has been something that has been happening and whatever for the past, let's say, 10 years, whatever. And I think with lockdown and where the world is kind of led us to, people had options. And it's not just kind of quitting. So for some people might be doing something else that's aligned to their passion as well. So it's kind of been a check-in for people to kind of reassess where they are and how much they spend in their work hours and what else are they allowed to do. And kind of just setting, like I said earlier, setting boundaries to say, look, I'm paid to do this. There's more to life than this. For some people, it is actually toxic workplaces or workplaces or poor leadership where maybe managers that just pushing deadlines and performance, but there's something else that we're not doing as leaders, and that's balancing engagement, energy, well-being with task and performance. I think it's that as well. So yes, some people don't resign out of frustration and they become silent quitters. But I think it's for other people, it's just setting the boundaries.
If working at a minimal capacity sometimes feels alien, right? And you might find that an employee and the employer to a certain extent should not be afraid of quiet quitting. Are there ever situations, Lizzle, where it could actually be good for me, the quiet quitting?
So that's an interesting question, because I don't think, you know, this thing started on social media and whatever, and, you know, some people call it acting your wage. It's that. But I do think, if I look at the kind of the work that we've done and what I've been noticing, even before this thing became kind of something quiet quitting, whatever, I think we are where we need to be. I think we are where we need to kind of absolutely very quickly help leaders to how do you kind of manage on an individual level how people contribute and what people need. So it's kind of propelled us to focus on that and not have a one-size-fits-all approach and not just focus on performance and results, but people's well-being as well. So yes, I do think it's not something that can necessarily be seen as something that is bad unless people are actively disengaged, which we know the stats are there. So if people become so disengaged that they are demotivated, that they are doing what you said, the minimum, and not just what they're paid to do, but they're really doing the minimum, then it's an area of concern. But if it propels us to relook how people work, how do we get people to kind of align their own purpose with organizational purpose, is actually, I think, fine.
Can it also be used as a way, Lizzle, to set boundaries per se at work, where contractually my contract says this is what I do at work, and management would always, I mean, we know this for a fact, management would always want to twist your arm to make you do a little bit extra here and there, take one for the team. Can that also be used to say, now it's over, I'm being overworked and I'm being underpaid. Can I just stick to what I'm paid to do, as it were?
If it is, look, you would want people to want to contribute, okay, and want to go the extra mile, because if it's something that you know, it's aligned to, and they want to grow and they want to develop. So I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't be asking for that or steering people towards that. But if it's about just me as the leader and it's me and whatever, and just the organization, I think that's where we kind of, you know, we just seeing people as labor and not just, you know, their hearts, their minds and their souls. We're going to kind of try and push people for things that they don't necessarily want to, you know, see part of their journey.
Lockdown, the pandemic has really changed the way we work. But one thing that always remains is definitely burnout. I know I'm going to start feeling my burnout next month. I mean, true story. Every year, October, my body just says it's been a long year because, you know, two more months to go and then we're going to take. So I'm already starting to feel that. So burnout also, we see with all these things that have been happening, has been on a rise. But is there a way to deal with this, and re-evaluate our relationship with work to avoid finding ourselves being burnt out even much early in the year?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think, you know, again, I think lockdown has kind of ticked something over. It's not something like this work burnout, etc., has just started happening now. So it is absolutely a kind of a good check in for people to have, and like you said, redefine the relationship with work. But people have been doing that in any way. I mean, if you just look at generation theory, for example, and I'm not saying this is the only thing that leads to this, but a lot of people are still being managed by the boomer generation. And look, I don't like stereotypes and generalizations, but if you look at the boomer generation, the me generation, and they want to work, their whole identity, and this is, by the way, something else, what you pointed to, the relationship with work is about your identity. Your identity as a person, your identity in work. Now, for boomer generation, a large part of their identity was defined around their work. Now, that is going to transition. If you look at the generation X, whatever, they wanted to have a more balanced life. And if you look at the millennials that has entered and for the next few years enter the organization, they want flexibility and balanced work life.
And finally, then, I mean, with that said, Lizzle, what would be, and I wouldn't say an ideal way, but when somebody finds themselves in a situation that is not conducive, you know, because we find ourselves where hardworking people, hardworking individuals are pushed to that extent. But also it could be because I want to make an impression on my bosses. You know, I want to put in that extra work. I want to put in that little bit extra so that I can get that promotion, that extra money. But it might end up detrimental to my mental health, to my burnout. Mm. So what if, and I know there's no like a silver bullet for this or a solution, but in a situation where somebody finds themselves in a quiet quitting situation that is not conducive, how do you handle it?
So good question. So I think for on an individual level, it is to kind of define, you know, your work purpose and your purpose in life, and then to see how can I meet that in my current role? And part of that is also setting boundaries for yourself and going back to your why. So it's not only that we work hard for promotions and salary increases, whatever. You know, it is to grow also as a person and to make the contribution that you want to make. So it is that mindset as well. I think the other thing is to go and talk to your manager and to your leader about that as well. So, you know, there's not often that kind of understanding, I think, in that. A lot of times there is, but it is absolutely that as well. And, yeah, and like I said, often people work hard for more than just promotions, except it's to grow and to develop and find challenging and meaningful work. So absolutely that as well.
Fantastic, Lizzle. We're going to have to leave it there. But thank you so much for coming through to talk to us this morning. I appreciate your time and your insight.
Absolutely. It's only a pleasure. Thank you, Karina.
Lizzle Pfeiffer Blechnert talking to us there about, and I mean, it's a thing that sometimes it could be good or bad, where you are being overworked so much that you just find yourself in that whole thing of going through the motions. But also on the flip side, where you feel like you are being taken advantage of at a workplace.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.